Lowe's early Black Friday deals are going fast. Don't miss up to 50% off select major appliances. Plus, up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. And with Christmas around the corner, you're going to need more string lights, right? Save $4 on GE LED 100-count string lights, now just $5.98. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Bob Zimmerman. He keeps the website Behind the Black. It is November. It is time for subscriptions and donations to Behind the Black. Bob can keep us informed for another two decades about the goings-on in spacefaring. We do both space engineering and exploration, all together say spacefaring. The next 20 years are very likely to be monetizing spacefaring. We begin, however, with news of big space from the 20th century, NASA. NASA has found an administrator. Finally, someone they're satisfied with, they're said, and someone the president's satisfied with. He's a very heroic man, Jared Isaacman, who's flown in SpaceX's capsules. He's spacewalked. Oh, wait. Bob, didn't we do this story before? Good evening to you.
Yes. Do you ever get a feeling of deja vu? Yes. So there's been a lot of kerfuffle over the last 2 weeks between Sean Duffy, the industry, and Jared Isaacman. Isaacman had been nominated by Trump in December. He got within days of a Senate confirmation vote when Trump withdrew his nomination. And there's been lots of speculation about why he did that, but we really do not know what the reasons were behind the withdrawal of Isaacman. He had faced hearings, and the Senate seemed to be agreeable to him. Most of the industry seemed to like him because he's a private entrepreneur, billionaire, who's flown in space twice, so he knows the industry and cares about it. So why Trump withdrew the nomination was somewhat of a puzzle. In the interim, he appointed Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy to head NASA. And we've been sitting for 5 months waiting for another nomination. There were rumors a few weeks ago that Isaacman was meeting with Trump again and reconsidering the nomination. And at that time, suddenly, Sean Duffy started to do things that implied he was trying, and not just him, but maybe a lot of big vendors in the industry, big space, old-time contractors who live on NASA, don't get much accomplished, and don't want Isaacman because he is really a force for change here. He's put in here, based on what he was saying in the interim and before when he was nominated, he would reshape NASA with Trump in charge. And so there was a lot of leaks that went on suggesting opposition. But nope, this week Trump announced he's renominated Jared Isaacman as NASA administrator. There are probably going to be more hearings because of the leaks having to do with what Isaacman wants to do. Bottom line is we really don't know the exact reasons why Trump pulled the nomination in May, so it's difficult to guess why he changed his mind now. There is one suggestion that he did this literally to thumb his nose in the noses of the big space contractors, because Isaacman is going to reshape things, it appears, and they were trying to sabotage his nomination now again, his renomination. And so I think that's the one speculation I've heard that makes some sense. Trump said, you know, we got to change things. Isaacman apparently wants to do it in a rational manner. Let's give him a chance.
We go to predictions for 25 and 26 for SpaceX and Ariane Space. I'm expecting a big number from SpaceX. Am I going to get it?
Before we do the predictions, John, I want to talk about the records that this year were set. There was a bunch of launches this week by American companies that set a whole bunch of new launch records. One, Rocket Lab launched. It was its 14th launch of the year. That tied the record of launches it did last year, and it's still got 2 months in the year to go. SpaceX has did a bunch of launches, and each launch now sets a new record for the number of launches SpaceX makes in a year. Every launch that SpaceX or anyone in America does now sets a new record for American launches a year. And on top of that, The SpaceX launches set a record for the most launches the year, the entire globe has done in a year. And in fact, the records that they're setting right now, John, are approximately 2 to 5 times more than they did the entire world did yearly for most of its history until about 2020. And that's mostly been led by Elon Musk and SpaceX. But nonetheless, we're seeing a renaissance in rocketry here. So as you asked, SpaceX and Ariane Space have officials from both companies indicated their plans for the future. SpaceX more immediate. They're saying that SpaceX is aiming to get around 170 Falcon 9 launches this year. They had predicted they would do that at the beginning of the year. When you add in the Starship Super Heavy launches, this is going to get them close to 180 launches a year in this year, which is what they predicted. But meanwhile, Ariane Space officials announced that they're hoping to do six to eight Ariane 6 launches next year. The Ariane 6 rocket is a new rocket that they've been trying to get up to speed. It's launched about 6-7 times. It has not yet ramped up very much. They have one big launch contract with Amazon's Kuiper constellation. But other than that, there hasn't been much interest in using Ariane 6 in Europe because it's too expensive. It doesn't compete with SpaceX. And so we'll see how that plays out. The trouble with both of those predictions, John, especially SpaceX's, is the FAA and the government shutdown. You know, the FAA this week announced it was limiting airline business to 40 major busy airports by 10%. Well, it also announced it's issuing a launch curfew that will ban all launches from 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. local time during the day, which is when most launches occur. And it's doing this, it's basically because the shortage of air traffic controllers because of the shutdown. You need to coordinate a launch with air traffic control so that planes and rockets don't hit each other. But you need the manpower to do this coordination. And so the FAA is basically telling all the launch companies they can't launch during the day. This is going to especially impact SpaceX. So their prediction for the end of the year now looks questionable because of that, John.
Bob, can I be suspicious?
Oh, sure. Go ahead. What are you thinking?
And the FAA is doing this to put pressure on Trump.
Oh, that's an interesting question. No, I don't think that's the case. I don't think it's an unreasonable suspicion based on the games that the administrative state has played for the last decade against Trump and for its own power. But in this case, no, because the people that have been put in charge of the FAA recently are mostly people who back Trump. And also the people in the FAA here have generally wanted to support space. I think no, but I don't say you're wrong. I just think it's probably not. So they do have, you know, there's a shortage of people. They have to cut back because they're not getting paid.
Okay, Boeing, one more time, rescued. Not only does it receive since Stalin's day the export-import bank largesse, Boeing gets a break at court. What happened, Bob?
All right, this is an example of Boeing's incompetence and corruption that's been ongoing. Several years ago, there were two 737 MAX airplane crashes that killed a total of 346 people. This is a new plane that Boeing built with lots of problems. It was clearly found that Boeing had committed fraud, malfeasance, and corruption in building those planes, lying to regulators about what it was doing. And so in 21, the Justice Department made a plea deal with Boeing so Boeing could avoid criminal charges. But it had 3 years to try to fix the situation. 3 years later, in 24, the Justice Department found Boeing had done nothing. It had not fixed anything. So the Justice Department was proceeding. Could proceed with criminal proceedings. It tried three times actually to come up with a new plea deal that would punish Boeing more significantly in fines as much as $500 million to $1 billion. The families of the people who died in those crashes opposed all those plea deals. And so the whole thing went to court. hearings by a judge to decide whether or not the plea deal should go through or whether or not a Boeing criminal case should be charged. The judge ruled this week that the plea deal has to go through. He didn't have the power to kill it. The families are still opposed to this. Boeing will have to pay a penalty of about $1.1 billion in compensation to the victims' families, as well as do other things. Bottom line here is that Boeing's off the hook. And this company remains a very untrustworthy place to buy product from. Its corporate culture has not really been improved in any way. It doesn't have any high standards or even maybe low standards. And it apparently is willing to let corruption and fraud go by. We'll see if this deal, the Justice Department, by wanting to make this deal, was apparently trying to give Boeing another opportunity to fix itself. We're going to have to see if that actually happens.
The European Union has a Space Act. I'm unfamiliar. What is it?
I've reported on this a few times, John, but it's only now being considered. They put together a Space Act last year that would impose really egregious regulations on the satellite industry and on the launcher industry. But they had the nerve to make those regulations, quote, apply not only to European companies, but to the rest of the world. And of course, a lot of countries within Europe are actually opposed to this law because they'd rather their own national laws regulate their space industries. They have new rocket companies and satellite companies blooming right now, and they don't want regulation from the European Union to throw things off. But they've now introduced this bill to the European Commission that meets every fall that's going to do your EU things. And the State Department has issued a very aggressive statement opposing this space law, essentially saying it would impose unacceptable regulatory burdens on U.S. providers of space services to European customers. It's not a surprise. It's very clear that American companies are not going to accept the imposition of European law on them when they have no jurisdiction. So we're going to see how this plays out. Whether or not Europe actually passes its laws remains questionable because, as I say, a lot of their own countries oppose it. But then again, the EU hasn't been much interested in what its countries want. It's really a bureaucracy in Brussels that just likes to impose its power.
Starlab is a space station, private, commercial. I think there are five of them. We talk about Vast a lot. What is Starlab up to, Bob?
Well, John, there are actually four that are being developed in the United States. There are more. India is developing one. Russia says it's going to. But the four in the United States are competing for later NASA contracts, as well as business from others. And I rank them on Behind the Black so you can see where they stand in development. Starlab ranks third out of the fourth, but it's getting close to moving up the rankings. This story this week is it picked a company, Leidos, to assemble, integrate, and test its space station prior to launch. Its space station, Starlab, is going to be a single very large module that we launched on Starship. It's different from all the other designs, which are smaller modules that get assembled in orbit. This is one big one. And it's been hiring a lot of companies in the last few months since its lead company in the consortium, Voyager Space, raised $400 million in its first public stock offering in June. They signed up a company to build the primary structure. They signed a company to design the station's interior. Leidos will integrate and assemble it once it's on the ground getting ready for launch. They've also signed a propulsion company. So this company is very close to moving up the rankings. The first is Vast Haven One, because they're building actual launched modules to test their hardware. Others are not launching as much. The second is Axiom, which has flown tourist flights to ISS. It's building its first two modules right now. So we'll see how that goes. Starlab is third. And the fourth one is basically dead in the water because Blue Origin is the lead company with that, and they've done absolutely nothing.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. It's subscription and donation month for Bob Zimmerman, because he's reporting not only on space engineering, but we're off to explore.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.